Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
Praise God. What a great job the team did today, right? I mean, woo! Glory. I think Megan sounds better than the record, right? Better than on the radio. I think she sounds better than the radio. We don't want her to get a big head or anything, but it's just the truth. Amen. It's powerful. Well, it's great to be back. There's no place like home. It feels like I've been gone forever. I haven't. But it feels that way. Pastor Scott's not here. I think he's exhausted from too much fun. I really do. No, I'm just kidding. He wasn't feeling well. He's hacking and coughing and all that. I know several people have had call me and said, oh, you know, I'm going to miss you this Sunday. I've got bronchitis, whatever. And you know what we say to that? We don't have time for that, right? Nobody's got time for that. So listen, if you've got symptoms in your body, I just encourage you to speak the word over your body. Amen? Because, you know, I just want to remind you, sometimes we can just be in an accepting mindset. Let's not be like that. Amen? Whatever situation, we hold to the word of God. If you hold it there long enough, it has to change. It has to change. But the thing is, we put it on, we take it off, we put it on, we take it off. You got to hold it to the word. You got to speak the word. You got to continue to speak the word and say, you know what? I don't go by how I feel. I don't go by what it looks like. I don't go by what the world says. I'm going to go by what the word says. Amen? And when we do that, things change. But you got, you know, a pot doesn't boil unless you leave it on the heat. And things don't change unless you leave the word on it. Amen. You got to keep speaking the word. That's not my message. I got a message for you guys. That's a freebie. That's a freebie. I haven't preached in 3 weeks. I got like weeks of messages going on in here. Amen. I was preaching, you know, I was traveling with a bunch of preachers.
Hello.
You know, my brother's a preacher, my nephew's a preacher, I'm a preacher. And so we were preaching to each other the whole time. You know, it's like, all right, we're not going to pass the plate. All right. You know, we know you're preaching to the choir here. But we had a great trip, as you guys know. We took my dad. We started talking about this trip about 3 years ago. Amen? Sometimes things take time, but they're worth it. We started talking about the trip about 3 years ago. My dad was turning 85, and he had a bucket list, things he wanted to do. And so he went on what he says, who knows, with my dad, who knows, what he says is his last really long trip on a motorcycle. And for those of you who are like, 85, a motorcycle, my dad is not your typical 85-year-old, you know. He's probably in better shape than most of us in here. He's in great shape, he's real sharp, and he bought a trike. If you don't know what that is, it has 3 wheels, you can't fall over on it, so that's a good thing, amen? But we took him on a bucket list trip. He wanted to go to California, he wanted to ride the Pacific Coast Highway, he wanted to go to Yosemite, so we did all those things, and it was a great trip. And so while I was away, the whole time I'm preparing for today, because I'm starting a new series today for the next 2 weeks, called Road Trip.
Come on, man.
Because, you know, God, this is just how God works with me. It's like in my life situations, that's where God gives me messages. And so we're on our road trip, and a lot of things happened, all good things. We didn't have any problems, really. A couple people, well, actually one person dropped their bike twice. I'm not going to name their name. Because it's embarrassing when you've been riding as long as we all have to drop your bike. So I'm not going to name Chris's name. I'm just not going to do it. So we teased him relentlessly the entire trip, which gave us a lot of fun. But I'm kicking off a new series called Road Trip. And really, God wants to take you from where you are to where you want to be. Amen? God, you know, life is a journey. How many realize that? Life is a journey, and one of the things that represent health in you is that you move. You know, if you want to get somewhere, if you've got dreams, which I hope you do, you've got dreams in your heart or something is broken in your life, whether it's your marriage or your finances or your career, your family life, whatever, God wants to fix that. Yeah. Amen? You know, God's in the renewal. God's in the healing. God's in the deliverance business. That's what God does. And so, but God wants to take us from where we are to where we want to be, but that requires movement. You know, I mean, our trip was great, But to get there, you know, our big thing was Yosemite. You know, my dad was like, we got to get to Yosemite. And, you know, we encountered some weather. The weather was crazy. One day you're freezing. Next day, we lost the day of riding because of the heat. It was 108 degrees. And everybody's like, oh, it's a dry heat. It's still hot. It's still hot. It's like you're standing in an oven hot.
Yes.
It's totally different from here. It's so hot. Anyway, you just physically can't ride a motorcycle in 108 degrees. And so it was really hot. And then you get to California. It's 62 in June. Come on. I mean, it's freezing cold. And one day I had 4 jackets on, no joke, and I'm still freezing. I look like the, you know, when you were little and your mom dressed you for snow. I know when you're like this. That's what I look like. But it was just crazy weather. But our thing was Yosemite. But to get there, we had to constantly be moving. Constantly be moving. And really, to get where God wants you to be, you got to constantly be moving. Amen. You got to be moving in the things of God. The Bible tells us over in, I'm getting so ahead of my notes here. Settle down, Peggy. Settle down. Take a breath. No, in Acts chapter 17, verse number 28, the Bible tells us, says, in him. That's the key to life, man. You want to get where God wants you. You want to get where you want to be, what's on the inside of you. A lot of people don't recognize only God can take you there. They're like, oh, you know, I'm going to get there with money, or I'm going to get there with the right man or the right woman, or I'm going to get there with my talent. I'm going to get there. No, the only way to get there is in him. That's the only way to get there. The sooner we realize that, the better off you're going to be on your trip. So he said. So the Bible says, in him we live and move and have our being. I mean, that's just a message for life. In him we live and move. You know, those go together. Living and moving go together. They go together. It says, in him we live and move and have our being. Living and movement is connected. Movement is a sign of life. You know, I have a dog. And he's pretty old. He's 13 now. He's still in great health, though. He's still in great health. He gave me a little scare yesterday. But every once in a while, he'll fall into a really deep sleep. Really deep sleep. And we'll go over, and it's like we're looking at him like, are you still alive? Because we're concerned, you know, because I confess over him, he'll die of old age and nothing else. And he'll die peacefully in his sleep. He's my little baby Gilby. He's not really little. He's pretty big, actually. But the thing is that when he's so still and he doesn't move at all, we check to make sure he's still alive. And, you know, we need to look at our Christian walk. You know, we need to look at it and say, man, are you still alive spiritually?
Go ahead. Come on.
Man, I want to look at some people and be like, are you still alive spiritually? Because, listen, if the Spirit of God, if the things of God, if your relationship with God isn't changing you, if you aren't making different decisions because God is in your life, then you need to check your spiritual pulse.
Oh, hey, that's good.
You need to check your pulse.
Come on.
If you're not drawn to the Word, drawn to the things of God, if the Spirit of God isn't saying to you, hey, that's not for you. If your life hasn't changed when God came into it, man, you need to check your spiritual pulse. Because God, every time God showed up anywhere, things changed.
Amen.
And if you want to tell me he's shown up in your life, then I need to see some change. Because if there's none there, God's there, but you're not letting him change you. You know, we got an epidemic of that in the body of Christ. We want to live like the world, but be like, oh, I love Jesus. Jesus said, if you love me, you follow me.
Come on.
If you love me, you obey me.
Come on.
And that makes everybody uncomfortable.
Come on.
But that's the Word. The Word is supposed to make me uncomfortable. It's supposed to make that flesh part of me uncomfortable. It's supposed to make me uncomfortable with things in the world. I'm not supposed to be comfortable in the world. It's like when people say, oh, that doesn't bother me. That's the problem.
Hello.
Amen. That's the problem. That it doesn't bother us. Listen, we need to check our pulse and say, man, am I alive spiritually? Because when we're alive spiritually, the Spirit of God moves in us. It moves in us, and it moves things out of us. Moves it out of us where it's not part of us anymore. We need movement. You know, life is a journey, and you can stop or you can keep going. But the thing about spirituality, there is no stopping. You're either moving forward or you're backsliding. And that's just the truth. That's the truth. You're either getting hotter or you're getting colder. You can't stay, nothing stays lukewarm. Nothing does. It's either going to get colder or it's going to get hotter. And so when we think about this, we need to grab this verse and say, in Him, I'm going to move. I'm going to live, and I'm going to move, and I'm going to have our being. God has a way for you. He's got a life for you. There is a way for us as believers to live. And I'm not talking about behavior, although that's part of it. There is a way for us where we move in the Spirit, where God speaks to us. He warns us. He tells us of things to come. He enlightens us. We move in the Spirit. Amen? I live and move in Him. That's the journey I want to be on. How about you?
Amen.
You know, God accepts you right where you are. You don't have to get God's acceptance. God accepts everyone.
Amen.
But God doesn't want everyone to stay where they are. God wants to move us. Amen? God wants to move us from hurt into victory. God wants to move us from mourning into joy. God wants to move us from poverty to provision.
Yeah.
God wants to move us.
Yeah.
And he accepts us, but he's like, all right, now, I love you. I'm for you. All my grace is abounding towards you. It's for you. It empowers you. But it empowers you to move towards him. Amen? And so when we think about this, God accepts me. God loves me. Nothing can separate me from God's love. That's the truth. But God wants to work in and through your life. In and through your life. God wants to take you on a journey that's a good thing. It's a good thing. You know, when we're flying, you know, how many love to fly? Anybody love to fly? Praise the Lord. God bless you. God bless you. You know, I'm not a big flyer, you know, but I do it. And so, you know, when you fly, it's like things happen and you got to go to the airport. You got, you know, I always get nervous in security. I mean, I don't have a record. I don't have a secret room in my house or anything like that, but I get nervous, you know. I mean, Scott, he's joking. He's like, you know, and I'm like, stop joking. Just stop talking, you know. Be serious. We're going through security. And he's like, relax. I don't know why. I just get a little like, you know, like. And then I had to carry my sister-in-law's bag, you know, because I paid, long story, but I paid for a carry-on just in case. That's my personality, just in case. She doesn't pay for one at all, and then she needs one. So she's like, here, you carry this bag. I'm like, is there any liquid in that bag? Is there any liquid at all in the bag? She's like, no. But if you know my sister-in-law, you know, you better check. Because she'll be like, oh, I forgot, you know. So I'm like, you know, but I didn't have time to check. So I got her dumb bag. And I'm like, if there's any water in here, I am going to be so upset. You don't have anything in here. You don't have any water. You don't have a big thing of makeup or perfume or anything crazy in there, right? She's like, no, it's fine. You'll be fine. So I'm going through security. I put it down. I'm like, you know, like, please, please. I made it through. I didn't get arrested or anything. I made it through. Praise the Lord. But the thing is, sometimes when things make us uncomfortable, we just want to step back. But if you step back from everything that makes you uncomfortable, I would have never gotten on the plane. Wouldn't have got on the plane. And then, you know, you're traveling and you just, you know, if you're on a road trip, you just got to stay wherever is open. So one of the first nights we're there, and my nephew's like, oh, I found this place on Yelp. Let's stay there. It's got 3 stars. I'm like, 3 stars? I'm a five-star girl, you know? I don't know. And he's like, oh, come on, it's only $80. Let's just go. We go. There's like a drug deal in the parking lot, no lie, right? We go in my room, and it's like there's just unmentionables on the floor. It was terrible. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm just like this close to being like, let's go to La Quinta, you know? Come on, which isn't even five stars, but it would have been better. But, you know, the thing is, sometimes things make us uncomfortable, but that doesn't mean, listen, peace and comfort are two different things.
Come on.
You can have peace about something because you know, listen, this is taking me out of my comfort zone, but I still have peace that God is with me. Do you get that? Peace and comfort are two different things. You can be uncomfortable. Listen, I'm uncomfortable every time I share the gospel with a stranger on the street. I'll just be honest with you. I'm uncomfortable because I'm like, oh, what are they going to say? Are they going to, you know, like make a scene, whatever? But you know what? I know that that's what I'm supposed to do, so I push past that feeling of uncomfortable, and I do it anyway. Amen. And if we want to live and move, we're going to have to go through some things that are uncomfortable to get to where you want to go. Yeah. Amen? And so we live and move. And so the first question we got to ask ourselves is, where am I at? You can't get somewhere until you know where you are. Because, you know, we're on the map, we're looking at things, and, you know, my nephew planned a trip, and we're going on these roads, and let me tell you how good God is. God is so good. We didn't know, because, you know, some of you would have been like, how could you not know? Well, we didn't. We didn't know. We didn't know that a lot of the Pacific Coast Highway is still closed. And so it's been closed for like 2 years. Who knew? I didn't know. And so we're on this pier, and we're walking out, and we're, these people come up and they start talking to us. This is God. Because we just prayed, Lord, we need divine connections and just make this trip the best. And so this guy comes up, he starts talking to my brother, and he's like, oh, you know, the road's closed, blah, blah, blah. But there's this road that's not even on the map. And it's the best motorcycle road. He said it's got more curves than you can imagine, but it's not on the map. Not on the map. Listen, there are some things you can't see, but if you live and move in Him, God will get them to you.
Amen.
Amen. Did you get that?
Yeah.
When you live and move in Him, God will bring you things that you didn't even know were there, and they can be the best part of your trip. And so it wasn't on the map. The guy, we wrote down the directions. We had to go through a military base. And we're like, are we allowed to be here? It's like, there's no signs. Nobody's coming for us. You know, let's just go, right? And it was so beautiful. We go around this corner, and there's just this huge group of redwood trees. I mean, it was literally like we went around the corner. I literally was like, because it was so beautiful. It was so beautiful, but it wasn't on the map. Listen. You know, you got to find out where you're at. Are you living and moving in Him? Because if you are, God will direct your steps.
Yeah.
And He will show you things that you didn't even know were there. He will take you places you didn't even know existed. Because He's God. And He's for you, not against you. God's got a journey. But what, I mean, you just think about that. The divine connection of just, it's like 60 degrees. We're out on this pier. These people just happen to start talking to us and give us this information. I mean, that's the Lord. That's God. And God wants to do that in every area of our life. He wants to do that for you on your job. He wants to do that for you in your marriage. He wants to do that for you in every area. He wants to show you things you don't know. But we got to live and move in Him. In Him. We need to ask ourselves where I'm at. How in Him am I? Isn't that a good question? How in Him am I? Have I watered down my own spirituality so much that the things of God are just a little part of me? How in Him am I? Before I make decisions, do I seek God? Do I have the standard of the Word of God? Are my convictions based on the Word of God, or the opinion of man? Because listen, those are two very different things. Very different things. How in him am I? Oh, that's something we all need. We need to find out where, you know, we need to find out where we're at. And you know what? I can't locate you. You can't locate me. We need to go to God and locate ourselves. But you got to find out, you know, the you are here on the map. You need to find that for you. And I need to find that for me. Because until I find that, until I'm honest with that,
hello,
I can't move forward. We got to be honest,
hello,
with ourselves. Where am I really at? Am I passionate about the things of God? Am I passionate about growing spiritually? Am I passionate about pleasing God? Listen, God always loves me, but he is not always pleased with me. His love for me never changes. But there are some things that God is like, girl, that is not for you. And I make a decision whether I want to stay in it or get out of it. That's me. That's on me. Listen, repentance is not just a word. It's an action. And some of us, you know, and this is not in my notes, but repent. The Bible says that at times of repentance, there is refreshing. Listen, a lot of the reasons why people are dealing with so much stuff is because they are unrepentive of what's going on in their life. You're looking for refreshing when refreshing comes with going before the Lord and saying, Lord, I know. I know this isn't lining up with your word, and I repent. There's times to refresh. God isn't going to hammer you when you do that. He's going to refresh you when you do that. Amen? When we just go to the Lord and say, Lord, I got some weaknesses. I got some issues. I got some problems. I got things I'm dealing with. God already knows. But he says, when you face it with him, refreshment comes to you.
Yes.
Times of refreshment come, and the river that's on the inside of you begins to flow stronger as you are just open with the Lord. Let's quit doing mental gymnastics to make what we do okay.
Come on now.
That's not what's going to help you. What's going to help us is saying, listen, I know the word says this, and I'm doing this, and I got a choice to make. I'm either going to move towards God, or I'm going to move further away, more into this. And you're going to get more darkness, more despair. And it's not God doing it.
Hello.
It's not God doing it.
Come on.
But if I'm just open and honest, say, yeah, man, I missed it there. There's power in that.
Yes.
Just saying, you know what? Yeah, that is wrong. It's wrong. There's power in saying something's wrong. There's power in it. And moving towards God. There's times of refreshing will come. If you're looking for a you need to be refreshed from the inside out. Man, it's going to come when you're just open and honest with God. We can't hide stuff from him. And we can't get our standard of conduct from the world. We got to get it from God.
Yes.
From his word. Amen? Because if I don't do that, I'm never going to find out where I am. Where I am. And so we got to ask ourselves, man, am I stuck? Am I stalled? Am I lost? Am I broken? Am I caught in sin? Listen, sin is just missing the mark. Did I miss it? Did I miss it? Are there things going on I shouldn't be doing? Nobody wants to talk about that. But yet we have broken and hurt people that need to talk about that. We need to talk about it because we're broken. We're broken. And forgiveness fixes stuff. It fixes stuff. Hallelujah. That's all freebie too, man. Woo, glory. Somebody might need to hear that. Amen. Listen, God loves you. If you miss it, God still loves you. God's not going to pound you. He's going to forgive you. He's going to restore you. He's going to pull you out of the pit that sin causes. Amen. That's what God does. Every time, all the time, that's what he does. He'll pull you out. And he'll even dust you off. But just like everybody's like, oh, he was the first stone. I mean, he without sin, throw the first stone. What people forget about that story is when Jesus was talking to the woman caught in the very act of adultery, what he said to her, he said, where are your accusers? And he said, I don't accuse you either. But he said, go and sin no more. He called what she was caught in sin.
Yes.
And he said, listen, you're getting a fresh start here. You're not losing your life. You're not losing your life today. But go a different path.
Yes.
That's what he told her. He said, go and sin no more. God loves you. God's going to hold back the stones. But he's also going to say, go on a different path.
Yeah.
Amen? That's God. You know why he does that? He didn't say, hey, go back with the guy you're with and finish up. He didn't say that. But that's what we do.
Come on.
We're like, oh, man, God forgave me. Let me get back to business.
Good.
No, God's like, go a different way.
Because
if you don't, you're going to be right back here again. God loves us. God has a plan for us. And it's to go a different way. God's got a journey for you. Amen? God's got a journey for you. God's going to get you back on track. But we got to make a decision that I'm always going to be moving toward God. Isn't that a good thing? I mean, that's a life choice we got to make. I'm always going to move towards God. Always. If somebody wrongs me, I'm going to move towards God.
Yes. Amen.
Amen? If I always tell people, I tell the staff, I tell all of us, this is a culture, this is part of who we are. If we're going to be wrong, let's be wrong on the side of loving and caring and forgiving and giving second chances more than maybe we should. Let's be wrong in that way. Because people are like, oh, you should do this, you should do that, you should do, you know what, listen, what I should do is what God says to do.
Amen.
Amen? Let's always be moving towards God. And when people come around us and they start pulling us away from the things of God, man, that's a warning sign where it's like, boop, boop. Danger, danger. The enemy planted that person. You're like, oh, but they're cute. It doesn't matter how cute they are. If somebody's taking you away from the things of God, they are not good for you.
Amen.
They're not good for you. Because we got to always be moving towards God. The Bible tells us in James 4:8, out of the New Living Translation, it says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. I like another translation says, listen, come close to God and he will come close to you. People are like, oh, God feels so far away. Well, come close to him. Amen. I feel so far from God. Well, come close to him. Come close to him. Amen. Sometimes the road's not easy. Sometimes the road's not easy. A walk of faith is not an easy road. It's not so, Jesus never said it was going to be easy. He said you're going to be persecuted. He said you're going to have trials. He said you're going to have problems. And sometimes you're going to come and get that sign ready, Macho. You're going to come, you're going to see a sign like this. Got my sign? Caution, high winds. Now that doesn't sound like a big deal, does it? That's a little windy. When we were on our trip, this is where this message came from. We were driving, and how many of you have ever ridden a motorcycle before? Raise your hand up. All right, rest of you, that's good. Okay. So you've ridden a motorcycle. It's a very different experience. And I come from a biker family, so to speak. My brother and I got our first motorcycles when we were 6 years old. And we've been riding ever since. And that's just how my family is. My dad's been riding. He's 85. He's been riding since he was 16. Always had a motorcycle. And so we're driving in a different, you know, I've driven all the way to Canada before. Been on tons of trips. But we've never been on the West Coast on motorcycle. I've never been on the West Coast in this area. I've only been to Seattle. And so we're riding and we see the sign, caution high winds. It says, not recommended for campers. Well, we're not campers. We're not campers at all. I don't camp at all, right? If I'm going to camp, it's going to be glamp. You know what I'm saying? That's the only kind of camp that I'm interested in. And so we see the sign, caution, high winds. All right, I didn't say anything about motorcycles. So we're going, and we're literally going through the Mojave Desert. Right? Doesn't that just sound exotic? It's a real place. I even Googled, I was like, is this really the Mojave Desert? You know? Because I thought it was just a joke. It's like, but there's signs to say that. I didn't realize that was for real. It's for real. So anyway, we're going, and the wind starts hitting. It was the most frightening, it was scary, crazy time, because the wind was so strong. I looked in front of us, and my nephew Chris is riding, and his motorcycle is literally like this because of the wind. It's crazy. I had to hold my glasses on because, so I'm holding on, right? Because I'm like freaked out with this wind. I just began to speak the word. I said, Lord, I just thank you that I'm covered by the blood. No, you know, I just, every verse I knew on protection and safety was coming out of me, right? I'm like, in the name of Jesus, you know? I mean, my helmet feels like it's falling off, and then you go by a semi-truck, you feel like, I'm dead, this is it, you know? And because it's just so crazy windy. Crazy windy. And so I'm watching, you know, I'm riding with Scott, and I'm watching Scott because we rented bikes out there, and I know what to do. And when you're riding in heavy wind, high winds, and we've never ridden in winds like these, never. When you're riding these kind of winds, what you have to do is you put your head down and you got to accelerate. You got to give it more gas. That's what you do. You put your head down and you give it gas. And as I was praying on the back of the bike through this crazy wind, and then we came up and it was a dust storm. It was like, what in the world? I mean, you can't see anything. Dust is flying everywhere, but you can't stop. You can't stop because you're in the middle of nowhere. You can't stop on the side of the road. That's even more dangerous. You've already come too far to go back. You got a destination that you're heading to. So what's your choice? Put your head down and give it gas. And as I was thinking about that, the Holy Ghost rose up on the inside of me and said, that's life.
Hello.
That's life. And I said, you know, and I'd be honest with you, I've been going through a couple of things, you know, like everybody else. I'm not immune to that. I've been going through some things, some hurt, a little bit of wound, just some stuff that's happened. And just like you, I'm no different, just like you. And I felt like the Lord said, Peggy, you need to put your head down, and you need to give it some gas. And I was like, all right. So the whole rest of the trip, I'm meditating on that, and I'm writing notes. I'm like, ooh, this is good, Lord. This is so good. Put your head down and give it gas. How many are hitting some high winds in life? Hitting some high winds? The enemy's trying to knock you off your course is what's happening. But listen, you've already come too far.
Yes.
What are you going to go back to? It's like when Jesus asked the disciples, he said, are you going to leave too? And Peter said, where else would we go? You know, you got to keep moving. You don't have, movement is life. You got to keep moving. But make sure you're moving in him. Listen, we can be busy moving. Just busy. But if it's not in him, it's not going to accelerate you. You're going to be on a hamster wheel. No matter how fast that hamster goes, he doesn't move. But when you're in him and you give it gas, you're going to move through high wind. Because you know what? Once you get the force of the bike and the force of the wind and all that, you know, the I'm sure there's crazy science about it. You can't go slow. Because if you go slow, you're going to be wobbling all over because the wind is too much. You got to put your head down. You got to give it gas. And that's what we got to do spiritually too. That's why you got to know where you are spiritually. You got to know. You got to say, this is where I'm at. Lord, this is where I'm at. I got this and this, but man, I'm going to give it gas. Amen? I got some things going on, but I'm going to give it some gas. I'm going to keep my head down. And it reminded me over in Matthew 14. Turn there in your Bible, if you will, because I don't have it on the thing up here, and I did it purposely. Listen, you need to read your Bible.
How about that?
Amen. And if the only time you're going to read it is here, then let's do it. Matthew 14. Sometimes we can get lazy and just be like, oh, it's on the screen. But I'll tell you what, when I read the word as many times, it's the verse before, the verse after, the verse on the side, where it's like that verse will be like, bam, that's what you need. You don't get that if you only see one verse on the screen. That's why it's important to read the word. Not just a verse somebody hands you, but read it. And so here in verse number, Matthew 14, we all know this story. Starting in verse number 22, it says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side. You know, every time, I heard Brother Hagin say this one time, and I was like, oh, I'm going to grab a hold of that. Every time he would get on an airplane, Brother Hagin would say, we're going to the other side. And so God is my witness, because I don't really like to fly. Every time I get on an airplane, I lay my hands on the plane and I say, we are, you know, when you're going in the door, I lay my hands on it and I say it out loud too, because I don't care who hears. I don't care. They'll be glad I'm on that plane if something happens.
Yeah.
Amen.
Okay.
Listen, don't be afraid to share the gospel, because when you do, people may be like, but when something happens, they're going to be glad you're there. When something happens, they're going to come running to you, because people know the name of Jesus.
That's right.
That's why it makes people so uncomfortable, because there's power in it.
Amen.
There's power in the name of Jesus. Listen, if it was nothing, it wouldn't make people uncomfortable. They wouldn't care.
How about that?
Don't get all offended when people are offended about the name of Jesus. They're offended because they know it has power in it.
Amen.
So I lay my hands on the plane. I say, we are going to the other side without incident in the name of Jesus. I stopped the whole line of people. I don't even care. And now I got lots of people tell me they did, but I got it from Brother Hagin. And he got it from here. He said, get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, and it's tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Another translation says the wind was boisterous. They got high winds, but they're already in the middle. You're already in the middle. You've come too far. Don't stop now. It amazes me how many believers, tongue-talking, spirit-filled people are just giving up. They're just starting to live like the world. It's like, what the heck are you doing?
Preach it.
Amen.
Preach it.
You're already in the middle. But here's what I love. He says, the boat was in the middle, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. Jesus didn't care that it was windy. He didn't care, because he knew that as long as he walked, he'd make it. It says Jesus came walking on the sea. He showed us what to do in windy weather. Walk! Amen? Keep moving! Keep moving! So he says, so Jesus comes walking on the, you know, that's crazy. We're like, you know, Jesus walking on the water. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, is it a ghost? And they cried out for fear. And Jesus immediately spoke to them and said, be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid. It's still windy. Jesus said, don't be afraid. And Peter answered and said, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. We've all heard this. And he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. But here's what I love about this, and the Lord just really ministered to me. Listen, the wind didn't stop. Now, when Jesus got back on the boat, when he grabbed hold of Peter, Peter said, "Lord, save me." And Jesus grabbed hold of him, and he said, "Why do you have such little faith?" And he put him on the boat. Then the wind ceased. But Jesus showed us you can walk through wind. You can walk through windy times. You can walk on waves. But if you got to put your head down. Because what happened with Peter? He started looking around. Listen, if you start looking around, you're going to see the world's kind of going crazy right now. And it will distract you. It will distract you from the things of God. You'll get so tied up in politics that you're no longer tied up with Jesus. And I'll tell you what, that's exactly the enemy's plan. To get us so distracted by the things of the world that we're no longer seeking the things of God. You know what the world needs? It needs believers who are on fire for the things of God. That's what the world needs. It needs us to show the world, man, I can walk through this wind. I can walk through it. But the way I'm going to do that is I'm going to put my head down and I'm going to give it gas spiritually. I got to be in him. In him we live and move. In him we live and move and have our being. In him we need to locate, man, where's the red? You are here. Are you the prodigal? You're in that land. Listen, nothing works in that land. There's poverty there. There's no jobs there. There's broken relationship there. Nothing works there. You got to come home. Yeah. Amen? You got to find out where you're at. James 1:6 says, "But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind." Listen, we got to make a decision. I'm not going to be tossed by this wind. I am not going to be tossed by this wind. I am a faith person. And I'm going to stand and I'm going to speak the word. I'm going to believe the word and I'm not going to doubt God. God's come through for you too many times for you to start doubting him now. Amen? God's come through too many times for you to start doubting now. I'm a faith person. You need to say that. I'm a faith person. I'm not going to be tossed by this wind. I'm not going to be tossed by what people are saying. I'm not going to be tossed by what the world is doing. Nobody needs a tossed Christian. We don't need tossed Christians. We need faith-filled Christians. Amen? That's what we need. So how do I give it gas? You're like, man, I'm going to give it some gas. How do I do that? You know how we do that? We do that with his word. You got to get the word in. The word is fuel for you. It's fuel. His word. And we need to live by God's standard. Amen? What is God's standard? Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." Seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's God's way of doing stuff. What does God say about it? You know, it amazes me. And I see that, you know, and we're all seeing this. It's not just me. We're all seeing this. We are seeing the decline and the absence of godly standards in the world. Let's not be like that. Let's not be like that. Let's have God's standards. Just because the world's doing something doesn't mean it's for me. Amen? 9 times out of 10, it's not for you. His word, God's standards, I got to learn the word. I got to search the word, and I got to settle it. Well, I don't care. I don't care what else is going on. This is what the word says. Amen? I don't care. And I'm going to do that. Listen, I say this all the time, but if you're in windy weather, the way to give it gas is to spend personal time with God. You got to spend personal, quiet time with God. Attend church consistently. You know what is amazing? All across America, church attendance is in decline. They used to say that 30% of your church or 20% was always gone. because we're on vacation or they had to work or whatever. So whatever you see, 20% of them are not here. You know what that number is now? 40%. That's the national average, 40%. Because we're not putting an importance, a quality. We're not saying what God says is more important than what culture is doing. We're becoming like the world. We're becoming like the world. Only 1 in 10 middle school students attend church. 1 in 10. But over 80% of people who get born again, they get born again before they turn 18 years of age. I tell you, we're in for a crisis. We are in a crisis of faith, which is causing a crisis in our nation. That's the core problem. It isn't all these other things. It's a crisis of faith. We're letting the world change us. And we're supposed to change the world. We're supposed to change the world. And so you say, how do I give it gas? I'll tell you how you give it gas. You spend time with God on a daily basis. You attend church on a regular basis. And you don't just check in, you lean in. Amen. There's a difference from being at church and being in church. Those are two different things. You want to be in church, then lean in. Lean into the worship. Lean into the message. Lean into relationships. Be at church and get godly people around you. Get godly people around you. So I don't have any godly friends. You don't have any godly friends. You come to me, I'll be your friend. Listen, I've been people's friends for a season, many times. Many times, because they're transitioning from out of the world into church, and it's a tough transition. And I've been there, and you need somebody. You need somebody. That's what church is for, to help you. And once you make that transition, then reach back and grab somebody who's making it and pull them along. Pull them along. And then reflection and introspection. Man, we need to ask ourselves continually, what's my spiritual health? Where am I at spiritually? Do I need to turn up the heat? Do I need to give it some gas to get out of this mess I'm in? Because you know what we do when we get into a mess? We just want to veg out. The world is vegging out. They're binging. They're binging on the wrong thing. We need to binge on Jesus. We need to binge on the Word. There's a time to just lay your head down and rest. There's a time for that. But when you're in a mess, you're on a windy road, man, we didn't pull over on the road and start chit-chatting. We put our head down and we gave it gas to get out of there. There are some things you need to get out of, and the only way to do it is put your head down, give it some gas, and move. It's what we got to do. But to give it gas, it's a spiritual gas. I got to spend some time in the Word. I got to come to church. I got to look inside. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians 2:2 out of the Message, it says, this is such a powerful verse. It says, you let the world, which doesn't know the first things about living, tell you how to live. Isn't that good? You filled your lungs with polluted unbelief. Listen, and then exhaled disobedience. Isn't that good? That's so good. Man, that'd jerk the slack out of you. Yeah. Amen. Listen, I don't want to hear from people. I don't want to hear advice from worldly people. It amazes me the people that people take advice from. It's like taking advice. And listen, if you've been, you know, been through several marriages, God bless you. I hope you got it together. But I'd much rather take advice from somebody who's been married a long time. Amen. I'd much rather. Listen, you let the world, which doesn't know the first thing about living, tell you how to live. I don't need a beer commercial to tell me how to be happy. Amen. I don't need that. Because that's counterfeit happiness. It's counterfeit. You know, we are so far from the standard of God. I hardly ever watch commercials. I just don't watch commercials. I find them a huge waste of time, and I'm a fast forwarder. But I was stuck watching commercials the other day. And there is this commercial, I don't remember who it was for, but it was about the thing, it's like the journey of life. And it was the couple meets, then they move in together. Right? They're not married. They move in together. And then they get two dogs to practice for babies. And then I guess they get married later. There was a time when that commercial would not have aired on television because the uproar would have been loud. And you're like, well, what's wrong with that? It's contrary to the word. That's what's wrong with it. And if that offends you, I'm not offended. Because the word will offend you if you're not into it. That's just how it is. But it just shows how far we've come. Let's not let the world tell us how to live. Amen? They don't know the first thing about marriage. They don't know the first thing about how to raise kids. They don't know the first thing about things like that. God does. Don't let the world tell you how to live. Amen? Let's embrace God's standards. We're on a journey, and God wants to take us where we are to where He wants us to be. Amen? And we got to say, I want you guys to start saying this to yourself. As for me, I can't speak for you, and you can't speak for me. People are like, oh, so-and-so's saying this. Who cares what so-and-so says? What do you say? Amen? It's like one time a girl came up to me and she was like, oh, they called me this. And I told her, I said, listen, it does not matter what people call you. It matters what you answer to. They can call you whatever. Don't answer to it. Because it's not who you are. You start answering into it, you're agreeing that's who you are. But as for me, you're going through windy weather, going through hard times. Listen, we all are. We're living in a tough time, especially for believers. But we need to say, as for me, I will not back out. As for me, I will not back down. As for me, I will not back off. And as for me, listen, I will not backslide. Yeah. Amen. You do whatever you're going to do. And I'll pray for you and I will speak the word to you. But as for me, we need to make a declaration. And we need to say it to everybody in our life. When people want you to go somewhere you don't need to be going, you need to look at them and say, as for me, I will not backslide. I will not backslide. There are so many backslidden believers. It is frightening. And we need to say, as for me, I will not back off. I will not back down. I will not. Amen? That's how you give it gas. We need to stir up on the inside of us. Man, I'm a believer. I'm a faith person. And I am not going to be tossed by this wind. Amen? I will not be tossed by this situation. I will not be tossed by this culture. I will not. I am a believer. Amen? And God has promised me the victory. Amen? Hallelujah. We're on a road trip. Amen? We're on a road trip. We got somewhere to be. You got somewhere to be. You got things to do. I got somewhere to be. I got things to do. And the way we're going to do it, let's put our head down. Let's give it some gas. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's pray together. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray for every person here. There's people going through some windy situations. We all are. We're all going through windy situations. And so, Lord, I just pray that you help each one of us. Give it gas. Lord, help us. When we start to put our head up and look around to the circumstances, look around to the wind, and it begins to move us, remind us we're not moved by that. Jesus walked on the water in the wind. He showed us how to handle wind. You just keep moving. Keep moving towards Him. In Him, we live and move and have our being. It's in Him. If you're here today and you say, you know what? When I look at my life, I'm not where I need to be spiritually. I'm cold spiritually. Or maybe you've never stepped into a spiritual relationship with Jesus. But today's your day to change all of that. You can say right now, Jesus, I want to come to you. I want to seek you first. I want to have a relationship with you that is moving and growing. Today I want to move towards Jesus. If that's you today, with every head bowed and every eye closed, you say, I want to move towards Jesus. I want to move towards Him. I want you to raise your hand up big and tall and say, Lord, I'm moving towards you. I'm moving towards you. I'm not going to mess around anymore with this craziness. I'm not going to be off track anymore. I'm going to move towards you. Raise your hand up big and tall and say, that's me. I see your hand. I see your hands. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God loves you. God didn't put up these guardrails to keep you from something. He put up these guardrails to keep us from destruction. God's way is always the best way. And Father, we declare today that we are moving in you, Lord, in everything that we do. Oh, I just thank you, Lord. Father, I pray for those who raise their hand, that you would help them locate themselves, that Holy Spirit, you're the revealer of truth. You would show us where we are spiritually and help us get where we need to be. I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, let's all say amen, amen, amen. Glory to God. Man, it's like 100 degrees in here, isn't it? Somebody turn the air down. Woo! Nora, you're sweating too. It's hot in here. It's hot. It's hot. We're preaching the fire, I guess. Amen. Glory. Man, I tell you, God, that's a good message. Let's grab a hold of it. Let's grab a hold of it. Put your head down. There are some things you don't need to see. There are things that are distracting you from what's important. What's important. Amen. Listen, all these issues that are going on in the world, we pray for them, of course. We pray for wisdom for our leaders. But what matters most is, where are people going to be for eternity? Amen? That's what matters most. And if we're getting tossed around by everything, it's going to be hard to lead people where they need to go. Amen? Amen. You say, what can I do? There's so much crazy going on. Give your spiritual life some gas. So you've got the power and the wisdom to do something that needs to be done. Amen? Amen. Well, we're going to receive our offering. You guys ready?